mention, I think we should start by mentioning that today is the yahrzeit of the Chofetz Chaim. Mihu ish Chofetz Chaim. Could not be a more appropriate time to focus on the yahrzeit of the Chofetz Chaim, Erev Rosh Hashanah. Erev Rosh Hashanah, Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim, are Pasuach. And this week's parasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, Es HaChaim V'es HaMoves Nosati Lefanecha, U'Bocharta B'Chaim. So isn't it Hashgacha Pratis that the Chofetz Chaim left this world, the one who taught us, Mi Ho'ish HaChofetz Chaim, Oyev Yomim Lira Yitzhoiv, Mitzor L'Shoncha Meiro U'Sifosecha Midaber Mirma. What person is there, has there been in modern history, even more, maybe going back from the beginning of time, that has taught the world the influence of what it means of putting us in a position to understand Mi Ho'ish HaChofetz Chaim against the backdrop of Parashas Nitzavim of Es HaChaim V'es HaMoves Nosati Lefanecha U'Bochartah B'Chaim. So you cannot say that it's not a Hashgacha Pratis that his Petir should be at this time of the year to remind us. It's his 84th yahrzeit. Today it's been 84 years since his Petira. 84 is a significant number. Why? Daf. There's a little bit of a joke. I mean, there's a chazal. I don't know where the chazal is. If a person eats, the person eats from a pinyin aben. You're supposed to, if it's a pinyin aben, you're supposed to participate. You should strive to go to the su'udas pinyin haben. And if you are so fortunate to eat from the pinyin haben, it's equivalent to having fasted 84 times. Why is eating from the pidyon haben equal to fasting 84 times? No one knows what this means. Pidyon, it has something to do with the word pidyon. Pidyon, the primary syllable of pidyon is peidalet, pod, pidyon. So peidalet is 84. So if you nene from the suda pidyon haben, it's equivalent. So I think it was Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zunfeld, and he said, I have another very good skula. That's equivalent to fasting 84 fast days. You learn the Daf Gemara, because the Daf Gemara is also pay dollars. Dollar pay. A Daf Gemara is also the same pud. So learning a Daf Gemara is also equivalent to fasting 84 times. Chofetz Chaim is 84th yahrzeit. So obviously number 84 is a very significant number. We see from this chazal. I have no idea what it means, but Chofetz Chaim, his influence, it's just hard to imagine a person who has more influence over us than Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim, halacha, he revolutionized halacha. Can you imagine? The whole world today is we live in a Mishnah Berurah generation. The bottom line halacha today is the Mishnah Berurah. You cannot escape. If someone, you do something and someone says to you that the Mishnah Berurah says fakert, you got a problem. You have to deal with it. You may, at the end of the day, not do what it says in the Mishnah Berurah, but the Mishnah Berurah is the Mishnah Berurah, is something to be dealt with. He has revolutionized halacha. Safos, there's no person here today that's not filling that he wears today. And the mezuzah in your home has not been changed, has not been influenced by the Chofetz Chaim. His approach to Hilchos Stam in Mishnah Seferim completely changed the world of Safras from beginning to end. The basics, the Tzuris Oisios, the way you write the letter Aleph, literally, today is because of the Chofetz Chaim, the way he has standardized the Tzuris Oisios, the Biuri Halacha, all the Rav Chaims, all the Lundis, Kol HaTorah Kula, is found in the Be'er Halacha. Look in the Mishnah Berurah. You want to learn a Ber Halacha. He touches upon the Yisoidos of Halacha of Lomdis, equivalent to Rab Chaim Halevi. All the Briska Torah you can mamish find in the Ber Halacha. So you go from the Aleph base, the Tzuris HaAleph, all the way to the Lomdis in the Ber Halacha, plus the basic Halacha of every single day. Plus Hashkafa, Shmiras Halasha, and it's unreal. And in addition to all that, in the eyes of the Klal Yisrael, he's probably the biggest Chassidish Rebbe there ever was. What is the whole mile of a Chassidish Rebbe? Maiselach, my stories. This Maisel, that Baal Shem Tov, a lot of Chassidus has to do with with a Maaseh Tzaddikim, to learn Midos, to learn Hanhogos. The books been written about the Hanhogos of the Chofetz Chaim, the stories, the conversation, his dealing with people is off the charts. So the Chofetz Chaim was a person that went, he conquered the whole world. He conquered in every dimension of Yadus. The Chofetz Chaim is there. And here, Baruch Hashem, Hashem gave us a matan, this mamash, a pella atzuma, how was it, 2-3 years ago, where he appeared to us for the very first time. He very appeared to us. We never had an image, a picture, a true image without any, the image that we had of the Chofetz Chaim, that people always challenged if it really was really the correct image, there was a certain picture. And now it's been proven from those people who are experts in face recognition, that's the big thing today, face recognition, is that that picture is an authentic picture, because we can see from what it looks like in this image that years before, a little bit younger, he would have indeed looked like the image that was very famous for the Chofetz Chaim. But this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put this away, the Mokim Geniza, it's like it's Gonos, and the image was given to us, this image, this video of him walking into the Knesiyah HaGadola, and it's a matana. It's almost as if the Chofetz Chaim Tchias HaMeisim, he came back alive. He came back alive to speak to us, to talk to us. It's not a Dover Pashat Admoy. Today they went, they had a very big, you know, Dirshu. Dirshu Hafster. David Hafster is a very, very, very big Marbitz Torah. They have the Daf Yomi. His whole theme is learning with accountability. And Eretz Yisrael in America also, it's very popular. Daf Yomi, the Bechinus, take Bechinus every month on Daf Yomi. And then they start already, it's already going on for, already, they're already in the Sekt Machs, it's already going on for 8-9 years already, to learn a page of Mishneh Berurah every single day, 5 days a week. And also they have, they learn all Kol Kisei Chofetz Chaim. He has a lot of Musar Svarim, and this whole Seder. So they actually made it, I don't really pay attention to the newspapers, they put out that everyone at least should try to learn on the Yartzei Chofetz Chaim, the Dirshu Seder Halimut. Right now they're learning Hilcha Shabbos, Mishneh Berurah, and they're learning the Musar Svarim of Chofetz Chaim Torah R. They put into this nice little page. What?
With the Torah R, the learning is basically that anyone who learns the Yani of Karbanis is like he gave the Torah.
Oh,
it's like
the,
which we're doing today.
Baruch Hashem. So Rabbi Sai, he came back to us today. They went to Eretz Yisrael. A whole bunch of Gedolei Yisrael. They went to Radin, to his kever, to be mispalul for Klal Yisrael. So may his zuchus be megin upon all of us. May he be mispalul for us, and may through him and through our connection to him, we should be zeichet to Yeshuais v'nechamais bechlal v'prat bekarayv. And witness the Geula b'mehera v'yameinu. Amen. Okay, let's discuss some inyanim on Parshas Nitzavim. Atem Nitzavim hayoyim kulchem l'fnei Hashem l'keichem. Everyone knows the Zohar. It's not an accident that Parshas Nitzavim is the last parsha of the year. It's the Shabbos l'fnei Rosh Hashanah. And the Shabbos before the following week, and that Shabbos is koilel. It encompasses the events of the future of the following week. It's foreshadowing what's going to happen. And the fact that it starts with the word Atem Nitzavim Hayoim, and the Zohar says every time it says in Tanakh, the word Hayoim, it is Merames on Rosh Hashanah. And the Pasuk over here is telling us that when it comes to Yimei Hadin, we all stand before the Ribono Shelom, Kivnei Moroin, Kamavir, a shepherd, he passes his flock before to be counted. Atem nitzavim hayoyim kulchem lefnei Hashem elokeichem, rasheichem, shetichem, zinechem, v'shetrechem, kol ish Yisrael. Every single one of us stands before the Ribono Shelom on the Yom Hadin. Now, what else is happening here? What is the Pshutai Shel Mikra? Atem nitzavim hayoyim. What day? What is the calendar date of this day that Moshe Rabbeinu is describing to Klal Yisrael? It's Zayin Adar. How do you know that? Because Moshe later on says explicitly in the beginning of Parashat Vayelech, what does he say? He says, Vayomer Aleihem ben Me'ah ve'esrim shana onochi hayoyim. Same word, hayoyim. So the day, the calendar date is Zayin Adar. Rashi, what does Rashi say? Hayoyim molu yomai. Ushnoisai, my days and my years. Biyoim ze noyeladeti, biyoim ze omos. On this day I was born, and on this day I will die. I'm going to die today. Zayin Adar. What happened on Zayin Adar? The point I want to make, there are two translations for the word Hayoyim. It's Zayin Adar, but it's also, for us, it's a reference to Rosh Hashanah. And that's not by accident. What's happening here is the Pasuk is trying to tell us, take the event of Zayin Adar and use it as a way to appreciate the deeper meaning of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah and Zayin Adar are twins. They're all part of the same team. Because that's what you can't deny that, because that's what's happening in this pasuk. Hayom is Zayin Adar, it's also Rosh Hashanah. What lesson do we take from Zayin Adar to allow us to appreciate the deeper nature of Rosh Hashanah? So we have to go back to Zayin Adar. What happened in Zayin Adar? Moshe was born, as Moshe himself said. When Moshe was born, what was significant about Moshe's birth? First of all, the pasuk says, "Vayar ki toivhu." Rashi there says, "Nismale kol habayis oira." It was a good day. It was a day of toiv. That toiv brought with it or. The whole bayis was nismale oira, the light of Moshe Rabbeinu. What else happened on that day? There was a woman who was very happy. Every know the women. I'm very objective about this. From the outside, women have a koyach of being happy that men do not have. This is my observation. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Women can drive you crazy. Don't get me wrong. But when a woman is happy, there's a certain simcha that women have that I don't see by men. Men get happy. Yeah, they're happy. A good day. Something happens. A simcha. Something good happens. Men are very happy. There's no question. But noshim have a koyach of bina yisera. They appreciate a simcha, I'm just making an observation, maybe I'm wrong, to a higher level than a man. When a person in your family, there's a simcha. A woman has a certain appreciation, a certain happiness in a simcha that men don't show. They don't, that's what I see. When Moshe was born, who was happy? Well, Amram must have been very happy, right? Amram was very happy. His father had a child. Amram had a child, Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm sure Aaron was very happy. A new brother. I got a brother. But who was the happiest person that was born? Miriam. Miriam, she was in seventh heaven when Moshe was born. Why? We learn this from Kriyas Yamsuf. After Kriyas Yamsuf, Miriam takes the toif biyada, vateitse Miriam achois Aaron. Miriam, who is the brother of Aaron. Sister of Aaron. Achos, the sister of Aaron. What does Rashi say? What? We don't know who Miriam is. We have to tell you that Miriam is the sister of Aaron. And only Aaron, not Moshe. If you want to go tell us the Yichos, she was the sister of Moshe also. What is this all about? So Rashi said, Achos Aaron, that she was Misnabe. Before Moshe Rabbeinu was born, she was Misnabe. She gave over a prophecy. That Moshe will be born. Let me read you the words of Rashi in order to be perfectly precise. Parshas Beshalach, right after the Shira, Vatikach Miriam Pasuk Chof, it says, Vatikach Miriam Hanaviyah, Heichon Nisnaba. Why is she called Hanaviyah in this Pasuk? When did she give over prophecy? The word next words are Achoy Saroy. Koidem shenoylad Moshe. Amra, she said, Asida imi sheteled bein. When Moshe was born, Hayoim, on this day, she was vindicated. Her prophecy was vindicated. Rosh Hashanah is all about mothers and sons. We discussed this week. For example, on Rosh Hashanah, who was born? Who's Nifkida? Sarah, Rachel, and Hannah. Nifkida, Vashem Parkade Sarah, Vaftaris Chana. Chana was Nifkida. Rachel was Nifkida. Who else do we learn about? What other mother child son relationship? Hagar! Can't deny that. Hagar and Yishmael. Hagar, we read about Hagar, we focus. It didn't happen on the Rosh Hashanah, but it's a major theme of the day. You can't deny. Hagar had a child, Yishmael, and the child was about to die, and she had Tsar, and the Malach came to her and said, Hagar cried for her child. We learned yesterday, we spent a lot of time in Sarah, the Akedah. The Russians, all about the Akedah. And why do we blow shofar? So one of the main reasons why we blow shofar is that Yabe Aim Sisra, so Aim Sisra also, and that really alludes to the cry of a mother, Sarah. Sarah cried when she heard that Yitzchak was taken to the Akedah Ukimat Shalom Nishrita. Okay, whatever that means, that's a different discussion, but it's the cry of a mother for her son. Aim Sisra, whatever that means, the mother of Sisra cry. Look what's going on over here. The whole Rosh Hashanah is all about the relationship of a mother and a son. A relationship of a mother and a son. But this one woman, that's magical. That's what we're adding to the mix. I'm adding now to the mix one more woman, which, to a certain degree, has a greater, is even more significant than everything put together. And that's Miriam. It's the day of Miriam. It's the day because Miriam misnabe shetelet imi. My mother will give birth. It's a nevuah. It's a revelation. It's a certain sensitivity and anticipation against everyone else. The whole world is in a state of despair. The world is coming to an end. North Korea is a danger. Iran is a danger. Syria is a danger. Economy, who knows what's going to be. Everyone is in a state of despair. And time of Amram. Amram kol abein hayiloid hayoira tashlichu. Amram said, Rabbi Yisai, it's not kedai. Everyone should follow in my lead and get divorced. The world is coming to an end. What did Miriam do? Miriam, at the time when everyone said the world is coming to an end, she was misnabe. She osid imi shetele bein, and the bein will be the Moshion Shel Yisrael. And what happened? And when was she vindicated? When did this prophecy come to be? It came to be Zayin Adar. What is Zayin Adar? Atem nitzavim hayoim. Hayoim is Rosh Hashanah. Hayoim is Zayin Adar. The attitude, what the Pasuk here is teaching us is, bring with you Miriam to the Beis HaKnesses in Rosh Hashanah. Bring her with you. Make sure you have in your pocket Miriam. Have that positive, optimistic outlook. Be a prophet. Be a prophet. The world is coming to an end. It really is. But don't worry. It doesn't make a difference. Osid imi shetelet ben. My mother will give birth to a child that will be the most. That will be what?
That was Rosh Hashanah?
No, you're not listening. I was saying, Va'atem nitzavim hayoim. Hayoim, the Zohar says, is Rosh Hashanah. But the Pshuto Shel Mikra hayoim is Zayin Adar.
Zayin Adar is like 6.5 months after Rosh
Hashanah. I know it's not obviously it's not the calendar date, but Zayin Adar, but the fact
and
that this one word
Moshe was born before his time.
But the fact that Zayin Adar, the word Hayoim means two things. It means two things. It's not the same day. Zayin Adar is not Rosh, not Aleph Tishrei. But the fact that the translation of the word Hayoim means Rosh Hashanah and it means Zayin Adar. So the pasuk is teaching you that the meaning, the most important ingredient that you have to add to Rosh Hashanah, you have to bring with you to Rosh Hashanah, is the emotion, the significance of what happened on Zayin Adar. Zayin Adar was a day which represented that against all odds, the world was coming to an end, yet there was a person whose name was Miriam, who was misnabe, that don't worry, things are going to be good, be optimistic. The world's not going to come to an end. Things are going to get better. Osid imi shetelet bein. And especially when the whole day is all about mothers and children, but it's a whole new dimension. It's not just mothers and children. It's a child that's going to change everything. It's going to make the world a better place, a different place. This is the attitude, the optimism that is critical to bring to the Yemei Hadin. Okay, let's go to another idea.
When Yocheved was not interested to stand to see what is going to his Erki.
I don't understand.
When Yocheved...
We'll talk after. Now let's discuss this week's parasha. We have the last three mitzvahs of the Torah. What are the last three mitzvahs of the Torah? The last three mitzvahs of the Torah appear in this week's parasha. What are the last three mitzvahs of the Torah? Ksivas Torah. V'ata kisvu l'chem es hashir ha'azais. Hakel. Hakeli and Anoshim, Noshim, the Taf, everyone has to come to the Beis Hamidrash in the 8th year to hear the Koyein, to hear the Melech read from the Sefer to Mishneh Torah. And what's the third mitzvah of this week's parasha? Teshuvah. V'shav. A person has to v'shav al Hashem Elokecha v'shamata b'koyloi. The mitzvah of Teshuvah appears in this week's parasha in very great detail. All the psukim about tshuva, parasha tshuva. Some people they say it every single day. It's in the back of the siddur. What does it come? It comes from the end of the parasha. Comes from this week's parasha. What is the significance, the hashkacha, that stafka, these three mitzvahs appear in this week's parasha? I think it's very simple. Yisroel v'oyraisa v'kudsha brichu chari. Famous Chazal. There's a trial. There are three things, the chut ha-mishulash, asher lo b'mehera yinotek. There are three things. There are three things to this world. Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, the Oiraisa, the Torah, the kud shabrichu, the ribayna shalaylam, chadu. These three things cannot be separated one from the other. This is the DNA of this world. That's exactly what these three mitzvahs are. V'ata kisvu l'chemes ashira hazois, it's Oiraisa. This is the Torah. Hakel is Yisrael. Hakeli Anoshim Noshim V'taf. Even the children have to come. Gans Klal Yisrael has to come and appear in the Ezras Noshim to hear the Melech read the Sefer Torah. This is Yisrael. What is Teshuva? V'shov Ad Hashem Elokecha. To return. What is Teshuva? To connect yourself to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not a coincidence that these three mitzvahs appear in this one parsha. It's not a coincidence these three mitzvahs appear at the end of the year, because what we need, the last, to go out on a high, the highlight, to go out at the end of the year, we go out with the Yisoidos to remember who we are and the purpose of this world, Yisrael, the Oiraisa, the Kutshebrichu, Chad, who? Ksiva Sefer Torah, Hakel, it's a Raisa, Hakel is Yisrael, to Shuva, the Shav, Ad Hashem Elokecha, to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to acknowledge the Ribbono Shel Olam. These three things are not three independent mitzvahs. These three things is all part of the Chut HaMishulash, Asher Loi B'Mehera Yinotek. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu starts off by saying, today is my last day. It's my last day. Let me find a place in Parsha. So this question asked, a very good question. Very, very stark question. Lo uchal od lotzeis v'lovo. Where is the pasuk?
Beginning of
Vayelech. Okay, Vayelech. Let's go to the next Parsha. Ben mea v'eshem shana onochi hayoim lo uchal od lotzeis v'lovo. Rashi, very, very important Rashi. What does Rashi say? La'uchal olot says v'lavo. Rashi first, I'll read the whole Rashi. Rashi first says, yochol shash koichoy, maybe he's weak. No, the pasuk at the end of the Zois HaBrocha says, lo'icho haso eino, v'lo'it nos lo'icho, he was fresh, he was vibrant. El la'maylo yuchal, any rishai. Okay, that's not the main point I want to make. Then Rashi goes on to say another interpretation. And he says, dover acher, Lotseis v'lovo b'divrei Torah melamed shenistatmu mimenu nisoyrois umayonois hachochma. On this day, the mayonois of chochma were shut down. The fountains of Torah, the nisoyrois, the traditions, Moshe no longer had access to oitzer hachochma. He no longer had access. He lost his password. They took away his credentials. He no longer was able to log into the system. The Mayonois HaChochma were shut down. So I saw the question asked. What are you saying? How can you say this? Let's go look at Parashas V'Zois HaBrocha. Parashas V'Zois HaBrocha, it says, Leicho HaSo'enei V'lo Nos Leichoi. There's a Yalkut Shmoni, and it's not only Yalkut Shmoni. Yalkut Shmoni is a collection. I couldn't find exactly where it comes from. I only was able to find it on my computer from Yalkut Shmoni, but it says there. I saw quoted, Lechoha Sa'inai, Bein Tomei Litar. At the end, the parish is the Zois HaBrocha, right before Moshe Rabbeinu died. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu was fresh. He was moist. He was vibrant. He was alive and well. Lechoha Sa'inai, Bein tamei litahar, ubein iser leheter, v'loy nos leichol ba'amoloi b'toyra. On Moshe's last day, if you come to him in the Beis Medrash and you ask him a shaila, the most complicated shaila in the world, is this tamei or tahar? He would pask him for you without in a blink of an eyelash. The heartbeat will tell you the halach. If you ask him, is it osur, is it mutar? Pask in the halach. And Moshe was omel b'torah. Moshe was b'hasmod rabba, sitting and learning b'hasmod rabba on that very last day. The stira. What's going on? Here in Parashas Vayelech it says that Moshe Rabbeinu lo uchal oid, lot says v'lovo. Nistatmu b'nisorois in the Mayona shel Torah. And yet it says, Moshe Rabbeinu is the top of his game. He's the top of his game. He's the biggest posek. He's the posek hadar. Nothing has changed. So how do you answer the stira? What is it? It's a very good kasha. I think the answer is very simple. And it's a very powerful Musa Haskel. Eina chanam, you come to Moshe Rabbeinu on the last day of his life, and you ask him a shayla, a paskin, in a second. He will be able to draw upon everything he learned his entire life. 120 years old, he had a good, successful life, he accomplished quite a bit, he was able to draw, he has all of his accomplishments right in front of him. But still, chidush, the ability to be mechadesh new divrei Torah, that I can't do. If you want me to write a new shtickle Torah for a journal, I can't. If you want me to pask in the halacha, you want to test me on Shulchan Aruch, you want to test me of a shayla, basa b'chalaf, and you want to test me, I'll pask in you, because that I already did, I already mastered. But if you want me to pass in on a new technology, on a new invention, a new technology, how do we deal with this when it comes to Shabbos, something new, which requires chidush, to be innovative, to delve into new ideas of Torah, that was nistatmu mayonoi shel chachma. So the average person will say, so what's the big deal? You know, comes a time to retire. Many people, comes a point in their life, they're 120 years old, and in the yeshiva they're giving shir, and they say to you, you know, you're 120 years old, you know, maybe you should retire. Maybe you should retire. You should let someone else give the shir. So what's so bad? Go on a pension. You come. You join the morning kollel. What's so bad? What's so bad to retire? You have it all. You know, you have accomplished. You go a little out, another 100 years. It's true. I'm accomplished, I'm healthy, I'm vibrant, I have it all in front of me, but that's not life. Le'uchal oid lotzeis v'lovol. If I can't be mechadesh, it's worthless. You can be 120 years old and you can know kol ha'toyra kula on the tip of your fingers like none other. Lechasa 100%, but it doesn't mean anything to retire and to just to chazer over what I've learned my whole life without accomplishing something new. The mayan is a mayan is what's the mayan of a mayan? A mayan is something which produces new water. It gives forth fresh water. It's not a bore. It's not a pond. It's a freshness. That you're still in the geder of lo uchal oid lotseis v'lo. You have a very similar vart with regard to Eliezer. As Avraham said to Hashem. Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, "What is it all worth? I don't have. All I have is my yoresh is Eliezer, who damesek Eliezer, who yoresh is
ben
damesek Eliezer,
ben
damesek basically yoresh I see." But Eliezer was such a good Talmud. He was such a good Talmud. He was doile umashke mitorosoi shel rabbi, he says about Eliezer. There was no better Talmud than Eliezer. So what's so terrible if Avraham would not have a Yitzchak and he would bequeath his Mesorah to Eliezer? Teretz says Eliezer was doile umashke. He took out of a pit. He did not have the koich of chidush. Eliezer was very good to preserve the very very good to preserve the Mesorah, was very good to write the biography, but Eliezer did not have the koyach of chiddush.
The father of Eliezer was also a
creation.
Gilu?
He didn't forget anything.
Yeah. Bar sitch enim abe tipa. That's a mile you need. But what's a necessary ingredient for life is not just to be happy with what you have. Well, the definition of life is chiddush. And this is the message the Torah is presenting us at the end of the year, the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. When you're asking for life, you're not just asking to live off your pension. That's not a mahalach. It's not just an area just to sit back, okay, I put in my time, my years, and now the golden years, I'm just going to sit back and relax and just enjoy the nachas. That's not a healthy thing to do. Life has to be ambition. There has to be ambition. There has to be goals. Ambition, goals, desires that you should continue to draw from the mayon. The mayon, each person to himself. Some people it's in Torah, some people it's in Chesed, some people there's something more to accomplish that will result in the Kiddush Shem Shemayim. This is the meaning. It can be Taker Loi Nos Lecho V'Lechasa Inav Loi Nos Lecho, but it's still going to be Loi Uchal Oy Lotzeis V'Lavoy unless the Mayonois are still open. And that is a message a person has to be mispelled for, that no matter what, he should always have the Mayanois open to him to be able to go forward in life. Okay, let's go to another idea. Another
short
idea.
What? The three things. Tshuva, writing the three
mitzvahs. Okay, that was a different Vart. That was Tshuva, doing Sefer Torah, and Hakel. Okay, but that's not related to what we just said. That was a different set of ideas. So let's go to another short idea. I saw this question asked by Dr. Bernstein, Windows to the Soul. He wrote a book, two volumes. He published an article, published his Chidushim. They used to have a serial, they used to print it in the Jewish press. I don't know if they still do. It's very, very good. It's English. It's very good machshava. Very, 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 very deep ideas. He has an amazing observation. I thought it was amazing. A very powerful observation in this week's parasha. And I want to give you his answer, and I want to suggest another answer. What's the observation? In the beginning of this week's parasha of Mitzav, we learn about all the different types of inequalities. Shal. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lefnei Hashem lechem rasheichem, your heads. Rasheichem shechem rasheichem lishifteichem. Zikneichem shoytreichem kol ish Yisrael tapchem sheichem v'geruchah shukir machamecha. And then we have two more people of society. The woodchoppers. The water drawers. Rashi says, who are these people? Who are these people? These individuals. So Rashi says, Melamed Shabo Kinanim. They were Kinanim, people who live in Eretz Yisrael, Goyim, non-Jews, who disguise themselves Lehiska. We know that we do not accept converts from the Kinanim. The Kinanim have to be killed. They have to leave or be killed if they want to be. They want to be a ger. There are different questions. We're not going into the details, but generally speaking, the Canaan have to be removed to a certain degree. But going from other nations, the standards are not the same. The rules are not the same with regard to the Umoy Sa'olam that are not from the seven Canaanite nations. So these Canaan, they had spies, and they knew that Klal Yisrael is not going to be very happy with them, and they're not going to be very. The rules are going to be very strict, and they're going to wipe them out. So what did they do? So they disguise themselves, they put on other clothing, and they change their manner of speech the best that they could. They made with they're coming from a foreign land, from America. I heard about the Jewish people, and we want to become converts. Oh, you're from America? Okay, America's not a problem. You can become a Geret Tzedek. You can become a Geret Tzedek. So indeed, that's what it says. Deceit. They disguise themselves as being people who they are not. That's what the Canaanim did. These people disguise themselves as being who they are not, and they told Moshe, "We want to be part. We want to convert." So Moshe was fooled. Believe it or not, he was fooled to some degree. And therefore, when Moshe found out that he was fooled, you know, whatever the details are, without going into detail, I don't even know what the details are, Moshe put them unisanam, Moshe choytvei etzim v'shevimayim. You're second-class citizens. When Moshe discovered that these people were not really who they said they were. They were not Jews, and they were trying to disguise themselves. He did not fully accept them. There's a Sifsei Chacham, which explains, I'll read you his words, but it's not really clear exactly what this means. I'm sure it's a matter of a discussion topic, what this means exactly. Uperish, ki Moshe, like Kiblon. If you want to be part of us, you're going to be in the lowest rung. Rak im yikablum aleim lios choytvei eitz v'shoyevimai. The gist is, Moshe didn't fully accept them. He put them in their place. Question. Dr. Bernstein, Windows to the Soul. Fascinating observation. Moshe Rabbeinu was the most generous person when it came to Geirus. What's the proof? Erev Rav. V'gam Erev Rav Allah Itam. Erev Rav was the source of all of our problems. From beginning to end, the Erev Rav. Who did Hashem warn Moshe? So without make a long discussion short, there's a lot of discussion, but it appears that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was against it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt that the Erev Rav were Egyptians. Egyptians who wanted to convert. And Hashem, with the Midrashim and Chazal, Hashem said to Moshe, it's not a good idea. Do not accept them. Tell them too little, too late. Not now. Right now, we're going to Eretz Yisrael to build to the Eretz Yisrael. You want to convert? We'll talk about it. Come back in 100 years from now. Come back in 20 years from now. We come to Eretz Yisrael. Then we'll have a discussion. But not now. Now, you're not part of us. That's what Hashem told Moshe. Moshe said, I veto your decision. Torah laba shamayim. Ribbono shel olam, I'll make the decisions here. I'll make the decisions, not you. I'm taking them. They want to be a Jew. You gotta love them, right? You gotta be good. You gotta be good. You got the Erev Rav. They want to come with us. The Egyptians want to come with us, even though whatever the reasons are. So Moshe vetoed. That's what it says in Chazal. I can't quote you chapter and verse, but it's not so hard to find. Moshe vetoed Hashem's will that they should not be accepted, and he allowed them to be accepted.
But I thought that Jairus, you can't have Jairus if they're joining because things are going good for Kalayas.
Okay, so who says it was going so good? That's the topic of discussion. There's a lot of details that have there are a lot of details that have to be ironed out. The point over here is just let's discuss this in generalities. The point is, Dr. Bernstein makes an amazing observation. It's very insightful. Look at the contradiction between Moshe in the beginning of his life and Moshe at the end of his life. When Moshe was 80 years old, and you start with Yetzias Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu was very open. He was very generous. Thank you very much. He was very generous. Erev Rav, he said, no problem. You can come. Anyone who wants to join the bandwagon is welcome. Welcome aboard. And Moshe, at the end of his life, here we are now, at the end of his life, 120 years old, Hayyim, and Moshe mentions people who want to convert. Moshe says, nothing doing. Get lost. You want to come here, you'll be slaves. You'll be the lowest rung of society, no benefits. No pension, no welfare, no food stamps, no social security, nothing. Medicare, you're out. You're on your own. Stira, what's going on over here? So, Dr. Bernstein adds something very profound, which is a very powerful lesson, is that Moshe learned from his mistakes. Moshe ain't a chanami. Hashem told him it's not a good idea, and Hashem was right, because the Erev Rav are the ones who made the ego. The Erev Rav were the ones who had been influenced over all the problems, all of that. You tested me, the 10 nisyonos, the Klal Yisrael tested Hashem, Chazal understand, a good chunk of this was due to the influence of the Erev Rav. So Moshe Hashem was right. So this is a tremendous smile in a person, and especially in the leader, to acknowledge you made a mistake. What's the difference between a chacham and a tippish? The only difference is, do you repeat your mistakes? Everyone says, that's the only difference. Ein adam tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh toy v'lo yachata. Every person makes major, major mistakes. If you don't make major mistakes, you will not be in this world. It's a mitzias. Ein tzadik ba'aretz. But a chacham, you learn from your mistakes. I made a mistake, don't do it again. A tippish does it again and again and again. Someone rips you off, and you go back to them for more business. A plumber is no good, Haven't come fix the next toilet. Don't you learn from your mistakes? The guy is no good. He's no good. Move on. He made a mistake. This approach, this idea, and on marketing, he's working marketing. I mean, you know, it's all hit and miss. Hit and miss. You make mistakes. Well, you think you're going to do the same thing the second time around. It's going to be better. You lost $1,000 in this approach. It didn't work. So what are you doing? So you got to try something completely different. It's not going to work. And people, you see this over and over. They do the same thing again and again. And leaders, unfortunately, are much more susceptible to doing the same exact thing. Leaders have this ability because they're in a position of leadership. You have to understand why that's so. It's leaders. Leaders have this ability to repeat their mistakes. The godless of Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of his life over here, the pasuk of his teaching over here, is Moshe Rabbeinu at the very beginning of the pasuk telling Moshe, he's saying to Kalash, I want to give you some Musa, Rabbi Sai. I'm your leader. I'm here for 40 years. I made mistakes. And I learned from my mistakes. You too, learn from your mistakes. You're all sitting over here today, including the Chayt Ve'etz and the Sheve Mayim. That's a statement. These people, 40 years ago, they would have sat in the dais. They would have been sitting on the dais with me over here and saying, oh, you see how good we are. We take game. We're such a good people. But not today. Today, they're sitting in the back. You know why they're sitting in the back? I learned from my mistakes. That's the mussar I'm giving you on the day of my life, my last day of my life. What's the mussar you give a person? You give the mussar? The mussar of life is learn from your mistakes and don't repeat them. And that's the lesson for the Rosh Hashanah, the new year. Coming to a new year, we've all made mistakes during the year. Inside the Gemara Shayaseh V'lo Yechata, the question is, what's going to be next year? Is it going to be all over again, the same mistakes, beginning to end? No, that's good. New mistakes is good. But the same mistakes is, it's the first pasuk, it's the second pasuk, that's the message, what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them, life experiences, don't learn from your mistakes. That's his answer. Now I want to suggest, very, very, 10 seconds.
Okay,
10 seconds.
Moshe Rabbeinu also in the case of Meragelim, Shenanecha, and here, that it said, Moshe Rabbeinu so much emphasizes for Shemua Bekolo.
To listen, but I'm not saying that. I'm saying mistakes. Not to listen to mistakes.
I think this comment is not right. Who said that Moshe Rabbeinu mistake? Shema Bekolo.
I love it. I'm sorry. This is Dr. Bernstein's vote. It's on the mark.
This all right. Comment is not.
I'll say 10 seconds. That's
against
it.
The Moshe Rabbeinu. Nobody can say anything.
Fight.
Nobody can say against Moshe Rabbeinu.
Next. Now I want to suggest another idea. Okay. Let's say Moshe did not make. Let's say Moshe held that he did not make a mistake. Okay. Let's put that aside. Moshe did not make a mistake. What's taka the difference? Why is it that for the area of Rav, Moshe was generous? And why is it that when it comes to the Chayt Ve'etzim, the Canaanim, Moshe said, you're out, you're in the back? It's very simple, because the area of Rav did not come to Moshe with harama. They came to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, we're Egyptians. We hate you. We tortured you. We killed your children. But you know, we see you right. We want to join you. We want to leave Egypt together with you. Can we come with you? Well, can you forgive us? Can we be part of the Klal Yisrael? Hashem said, don't do it. Hashem was saying, don't do it. And Moshe says, Ribbono Shel'Olam, don't tell me what to do. I'm accepting you.
The people
were sincere. They came to Moshe Rabbeinu with sincerity. They want to join Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm taking you. Hashem said it, Moshe. The Canaanim, they came to Moshe beharama, with deceit. They were disguised. And Moshe caught them. When you come with deceit, you're out of the game. That is the powerful limud hamusa. We're coming before the Ribbono Shel Olam and Zimei Hadin. How do we present ourselves? Do we present ourselves? We look back at the whole year, at our life. Are we ethical people? Are we coming before HaKadosh Baruch Hu as upstanding members of society, honest, ethical people? We're full of crimes. We've done the worst crimes. The Egyptians, the Arab, were shoim. They were murderers. They were our taskmasters. They were terrible people. They took children. They made put them in bricks. They took the child. They put the child in the mold of the brick. But yet, when they came to Moshe, they were sincere. You know, we have charata. We see you right. We want to join you. We want to join you. Because under hate, we accept your tshuva. But when you come with deceit, Ribbono shel Olam, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm a kunz. It's legal. I have all these excuses how to maneuver, how to work my way through all of the traffic. Hashem says, you know something? Take a seat outside. I'm not interested in you. It's a very powerful limud musar, the chilik between the Erev Rav and the Kananim. The Erev Rav, they were shoyim, but they were accepted. The Kananim, they also want to join. Moshe says, you're coming to Harama, Arois, out of the Beis Medrash. I don't want to know from you. You're not accepted. That's the limud musar. You don't come before the Ribbono Shel Olam with Harama. Okay, let me tell you another part. This is a very important part. This is a very important var. In Paraglan, we have a very powerful pasuk. This mamish, the yisoid of the Yimei Hadin. I believe this to be very, very critical. V'haya, it will be. Paraglan, pasuk alef, ki yovohu olecha kol hadivorim ha'ele. All of these matters. Ha'berocha v'ha'kilolah. Asher nasati lefonecha. What will you then do? You'll then go in v'hashev oisa el levavecha. You'll then begin to think. You will reflect. V'hashev oisa el levavecha really means to reflect. B'chol ha'goyim asher hi di'chacha Hashem elokecha sham. You'll reflect relating to the reality that Hashem has dispersed you, has sent you out over into the world. And what are you going to do about it? Tshuva. Parish of tshuva. V'shafta ad Hashem Elokecha. V'shamata v'koylai k'chol ha'shanochi mitzavcha ayoyim ata uvanecha b'chol levavecha v'chol nafshecha. And then the pasuk goes on to say, if you're going to do tshuva, Hashem will do tshuva as well. V'shav Hashem Elokecha shavutzcha v'yachamecha v'yavshav v'kibetzcha mikol ha'olim asher hafitzcha Hashem Elokecha Hashem. Very good. Parish of tshuva. And it goes on and on and tell you what's going to happen. How does it all start, tshuva? It all starts when it comes upon you kol ha'dvarim ha'ele, all of these matters. Habiracha v'hakilolah. So I saw in a sefer the question. I don't understand what the answer was. What he said. I'll tell you what I want to say. But the question was, what does it mean that you're only going to do tshuva when it's habiracha v'hakilolah? Why both? If you on a very simplistic level, you'll do tshuva when you're in a state of klala, rachmana litzlan. Achman al-Litzlan, things are not going well, you know, something's wrong. The system is not working, so, you know, maybe the problem's with me. Hit rock bottom, right? Rock bottom. So now it's time to do tshuva. It's very bizarre that it says the only time you're going to do tshuva is telling your reality. The only way you're ever going to do tshuva is when it'll come upon you, the brochas. Everything is gevaldik. And they're clawless. That's a contradiction. If there's bracha, there's no klala. If there's klala, there's no bracha. And that's the trigger to do teshuvah. Something does not make sense. That's the kasha. And the answer is, the kasha itself is the answer. Think about it like this. I once heard this expression. If everything in life is going in your way, it means you're in the wrong lane. You hear what I said? If everything is going your way, you're in the wrong lane. You get it? Okay? In life, if everything is wonderful, if everything is wonderful, a person doesn't think he needs to do tshuva. Okay, everything is wonderful, so no, it's slichas, a big deal, I go to slichas, everything, you know. You don't take the whole, because obviously Hashem likes me. Hashem likes me. I dive in, I learn, I give tzedakah. I follow all the rules, and things are pretty good. I have paranoia. I'm not starving, I'm not homeless. There are people out there that mamish have a lot worse than I have. I survive, so nothing must be that Hashem is happy with me. It's good enough. I'm not a tzaddik, but I'm good enough to get by. That unfortunately is a very true attitude. Let's go to the other attitude. A person is taka in a very big matzav of tzara. He's homeless. He's not on speaking terms with his family. He's not healthy. He has a lot of tzaras. Does he come to shul? No. He gave up. When a person is in a state of klala, a state of despair, why should I go to shul? What I get going to shul? It can't get worse than this. Everything has gone down the drain. So a person that's in a matzav of pure bracha, not pure, but bracha, where bracha is the only thing that he sees, he's not inspired to do tshuva. When a person is in rachmana litzlan, in a state of klala, he's also not inspired to do tshuva, because generally a person is in a state of despair. It doesn't make a difference for who and for what. What am I going to accomplish anyway? It didn't work last year. It didn't work the year before, my davening. So it's going to work better. Look at all my problems. Look where I'm holding at this point in life. The pasuk is very, very profound, and it's telling you in the trigger to awaken your heart, b'chol levavicho v'chol nafshecha, is to appreciate, is to recognize that you, and for that matter, every single person in this world is a mixed bag. There's beracha and there's klala. The year has gone by. Every single person, b'li yoytzei min haklal, can look back at the year and can see, you know something? I had bracha this year. I had bracha. Can't tell me there was no bracha. You can't tell me there are people who are infinitely worse than my situation, and you cannot deny that there was a special hashkocha pratis that I was able to do things that al derech hateva I never in my life would have imagined I would have been able to accomplish. Every single person b'li yoytzei min haklal can see somewhere in their life, in their time, there's a certain degree of bracha. And yet every single person can also say, you know, I have a peckle. I got problems. I have issues. I have issues, all different types of issues, which other people don't have. They don't have these issues, and I have to carry this weight, and it's not fun, and this is klala. When you see both of them together, it's magical. You see that Hashem is with you. You see the bracha in your life awakens you to recognize that I can do something about the klala. It's not just pure despair. If it was pure klal, I would give up. Pure bracha, I have nothing to pray for. The combination is what awakens a person to recognize that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam, there is Hashgacha Pratis, and there is a Koyach HaTfilah, there is a Koyach of Teshuvah, and the Teshuvah makes a difference. And if it makes a difference, a person can work b'chol levavicha uv'chol nafshecha to return ad Hashem Elokecha. That is the approach a person has to have when he comes into the Yimei Hadin. You have to see in front of you both. You have to look back. You have to look back and see in front of you beracha uklala. And the combination is a combination which you can draw from the bracha to recognize that you can do something about that aspect in your life that you feel is not bracha. You can daven, and you can do something to make a difference. Okay, let's go to another way. You have slichas. This night is the first night of slichas. Let me make you a short ha'ara about slichas. When you begin slichas, what's the first thing we do? What is the most important thing of slichas? Everyone knows it's not saying the slichas. Okay, the slichas, to say b'motzoy menucha, the piyut, the pizmoin, and the piyut, and that's very nice. That's beautiful. That's where the chazonim get to shine. They can say, they can sing, and they can cry, and they can elaborate. But the most significant portion of the slichos is to say the yud gimel midoy sarachmim kel Hashem kel rachum v'chan erech apayim. This is the most significant portion of slichos, and this is something a person has to concentrate and say with a lot of kavana. Now, what is the introduction? Every time we recite the slichos, we introduce it with a very short piyut. Now, what is the piyut? Now, you all can see in front of you on the page, there's a vertical line down the page, and on one side is the piyut called Kel Erech Apayin, and the other side, on the left side, is usually Kel Melech Rach. Now, we have Machzim, so we don't have this anymore. It repeats everything 100 times, so everything is laid out for us on a silver spoon. But it used to be in the olden days, you just had this. What's the difference? The first time you say Kel Erech Apayin. And Mikanul Haba, after you say the first time you say the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim, every subsequent time we recite the Yud Gil Midas Rachamim, we say Kel Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Rachamim. That is the pattern that we follow every single day in Slichos and throughout the year. In fact, the first time we say Kel Erech Hapayim, and this Mikanul Haba can be even 10 times. I don't know. I'm assuming. Every time you say a slicha, you say a pizmain, you say the different expressions, different terms, different types of piyutim, whatever you say, you're always going to every in between. You say the Yud Gil Mitzrachim, you're always going to say Kel Melech Yosha. The only one exception to this. The only exception to this is Yom Kippur. When you get down to the very end of Yom Kippur, the last time you recite slichos is on Yom Kippur. You'll look in your machzor on Yom Kippur, you never say Kel Erech Hapayim. On Yom Kippur, even the first time, Kol Nidre, or the Slichas of Shachas, Musaf, Mincha, and the Ilo, when you say Slichas and Mincha, I don't remember anymore. You say Slichas and Mincha? I don't think so, I remember.
You say
Slichas and Mincha? Different. When you say Slichas and Shat, on Yom Kippur, you don't say Kel Erech Hapayim. You skip. Right, even the first time you say Slichas, he says slichos on Yom Kippur. The first slicha on Yom Kippur is in truth. The first time is when you begin, and the first time you say the kel, the yud gimel midas harachanim, it begins with. It begins kel melech yoshev al kisei rachamim. So the mafarshim explain what's tach the pshat. What's the pshat? Pshat is because in the beginning. Hashem is still, the simple answer is, when we begin, Hashem is sitting on the Kisei Hadin. There's Rachamim and Din. Hashem has two thrones, the Kisei Shel Din and the Kisei Shel Rachamim. And Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu first wants to judge us with Din, and when he sees it's not going to go, then Hashem gets up from the Kisei Shel Din and he sits down on the Kisei Shel Rachamim. Hashem does not switch chairs until we say the Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim at least the first time. So we come to Slichos. I'm telling you the simple answer why we do. We come to Slichos for the first time. So Hashem is still sitting on the Kisei Hadin. So it's scary. So what do we do? So we can't say Kel Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Rachamim. Hashem is not sitting on the Kisei Rachamim. That chamber is empty. Hashem is in the other room. He's in the room where Hashem is Yoyesh al Kisei Din. We're in trouble. So what do? So we say another nosach, Kel Erech Hapayim, Kel Erech Hapayim. And then we say the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. Oh, the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. Hashem gets up from the Kisei Hadin. He goes into the other chamber of the Kisei Harachamim. And now, Mikanul Haba, for the remainder of the Slichol service, we say, Kel Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Rachamim. And this process repeats itself every single day of the Slichos until we get to Yom Kippur. By the time we get to Yom Kippur, we soften up Hashem. We've softened him up so much, he doesn't even bother sitting down on the Kisei Hadin. He right away goes, right away. When he walks in on Yom Kippur Hashem, when Yom Kippur begins, Hashem says, already, I've gone through this already 10 times. Slichos, you know what? Enough! Let me just go right! Enough of this theatrics, the ceremony just goes right to the Yoshev Al Kisei Rachamim, and that's why Yom Kippur will start right away with Kel Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Rachamim. Okay, so that's the basic answer. What do we take from this? Is that what is the most significant time when Hashem sits on Din? It sits on the Kisei Hadin. It's the very first time. The very first time, Slichos night, is the scariest time. Because Hashem didn't even once yet change from Din to Rachamim. The second day of Slichos, in the back of Hashem's mind, Hashem said, well, yesterday I switched. So maybe I'll switch today also. The third day, I switched already two times, so maybe I'll switch. So Hashem doesn't really get comfortable. Every single day when Hashem enters into the courtroom, Hashem gets less comfortable on the Kisei Din, knowing what he did yesterday and the day before. I'm going to anyway switch, so just just a ceremony, ritual to go through this, and until you reach the spitz of Yom Kippur, when Hashem doesn't bother to sit down the Kisei Adin. But the very first time, it's serious business. The very first time when Hashem sits on the Kisei Hadin, it's Kisei Hadin. It's serious business. Hashem. So when we say the Keler Chapayim, the very first time, the first Slichos is the first Slichos. The first Slichos, when you say the Keler Chapayim, that is the most powerful Kel Erech Chapayim you'll ever say. Because the second day, the third day, the fourth day, every time you sing the Keler Chapayim, it's already getting shvacher and shvacher. Because you're getting closer to the moment in time when you're not going to ever say the Keler Chapayim. You're going to say right away, Kel Melech Yoyeshev Al Kisei Rachamim. Now, I just want to add one little twist to this Vart, and that is, this idea I told you is the Keler Chapayim because Hashem is on the Kisei Hadin, not on the Kisei of Rachamim. But why do we use the words Kel Melech Yoyeshev, Kel Erech Chapayim? If we're not going to say Rachamim, there are 13 Midos. Erech Chapayim represents the concept of patience. Patience. Rashi, it's a beautiful Rashi, in Parasha, we'll include with this, in Parashas Kisisa, the Yod, the Gimel, Midos HaRachamim. Rashi, when it said, when Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu, Kel Hashem, Hashem, Kel Melech Yoshev, Kisei Rachamim. So Rashi is, what's the chilk in Hashem, Hashem? There's Hashem, Hashem Koidim Achet, Hashem Achar Achet. To make a long story short, you can look at the Rashi later on. Let me find the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Where is it? Here it is. I got it. It's in Perek Lamed Dalid Pasik Vav. Vayavar Hashem Alpanu Vayikra Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum Mechanu Erech Hapayim. Rashi. Erech Hapayim Marich Hapay. Hashem is patience. Patient. Ve'enoi Mimaher. He's not quick. Lipara shema yaseh teshuvah. Sifsei Chachamim says it all. That's what you have to think about for the first slichas. Sifsei Chachamim on this Rashi pasuk b'chaf oisa says afalpi shemidas Hashem Hashem imara li achar shechoto v'yoshuv. Hayinu miyad. He asks the question: what's the chilik between the midah of the second Hashem and Erech Hapayim? The first Hashem is koidem achet. The second Hashem is after the chet. I've sinned. I've done tshuva. So that's the tshuva already has been done. What then is erech hapayim? So he says something very very profound. If a person does tshuva immediately after he sins, that is nichlal in the second word Hashem. Hashem koidem achet. Hashem achar hachet miyod, immediately. But what happens if a person does an avera and doesn't do tshuva, and he lets the whole year go by without doing tshuva? That's where erech hapayim comes in. It's unbelievable. This it comes in. Umidas erech hapayim moire. It teaches you shemitzape. Hashem, he yearns. Lohem. Shema Ya'asu Teshuva. It's the yearning of Hashem. You did an Avera so long ago. I'm waiting such a long time. I'm yearning. It's not just Hashem, okay, I didn't hold you accountable, but look at the records. Hashem is yearning. When will you do Teshuva? Now think about this. We discussed there's a Kel Erech Hapayim and there's a Kel Melech Yoshev Al Kisei. The whole process of slichos is to go, is to reach the madrega where you can skip the kel erech hapayim and come to the kel melech yoshev al kisei. So every time we recite slichos, it gets weaker and weaker and weaker. But the first time of the kel erech hapayim is the most intense. That means the first night of slichos, this mitzvah Shabbos, is the moment when you say kel erech hapayim. It is the moment, the most intense moment, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he also comes to Slichos with the tzipur. I have been waiting for this for such a long time. Unfortunately, we may come to Slichos as a burden. Rachman Ritzlan. Oh no, Slichos, gotta get up, get our kittel, get this, get that. For us, unfortunately, we have the wrong attitude. Like it's just, oh no, it's this time of the year again. Our whole Seder Hayom is disrupted. But when we say it the first time, which is the most intense time, because every time it gets weaker and weaker, the most intense time, look at it from Hashem's perspective. From Hashem's perspective, Erech HaPayim, Yoishev U'mitzapeh. Hashem has been waiting for this Mitzvah Shabbos for such a long time. And therefore, it is our duty not to disappoint him. That's the message. Don't disappoint someone who's been waiting for something for such a long time. We may all be matzliach in the battle of tshuva. I wish you all a wonderful Shabbos. And Mirtz Hashem, we'll see you next week, Monday, Mirtz Hashem.